Good morning, everybody. Amen. All right, as I was saying last couple weeks we spoke about being an armor bearer of God, right? And we said in the modern world, today's world, you don't carry somebody's armor around. I'd hate to carry Kenny's armor around, right? It would be heavy. He's got a head bigger than mine. I could take a bath in his helmet. I don't want to carry that. But what we're talking about, 10-gallon, he should have been a cowboy, 10-gallon hat. But what we're talking about is spiritual issues, spiritual matters, right? We're talking about the armor of God today, right? What it costs, what the attributes you needed to be, to help someone that's a leader, right? Now, we're going to continue partially in that vein today because we're still speaking about the armor of God, but we're going to go with armor of God out of Ephesians 6, talking about the armor itself, right? And this too, as you see, is going to be purely spiritual. You know, most of the Bible I found is spiritual. But let me read this to start off with. Ephesians 6, we're going to start at, and we're going to go through verse 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen? We've heard that many times, haven't we? I'm sure just about everybody in here has heard that at one time or another. But I thought we'd kind of take a look at it today before we get into what the armor is. And that's what's going to happen after today. This is like an introduction. I've got several learned gentlemen that are going to come up here and talk about the different pieces of armor and what they mean spiritually. First of all, this is an analogy. We don't physically, as anybody, you know, I've heard many, many ministers talk about putting on the armor of God, right? I've heard many of them say, I get up every morning and put on the armor of God. I got up yesterday and put it on. I got up today and put it on. You read the verse I just read. Where does it say to take it off? Sarge, you've been in a combat position. I've slept with a helmet and flak jacket. Well, they talk about the cavalry. They slept with their boots on. When am I going to take off my faith? Well, I'm going to bed. I don't need faith. We couldn't get attacked at night, could we, Ed? It's impossible, right? Of course not. That's exactly when the enemy is going to come, isn't it? Absolutely. So there's no time that we shouldn't have this armor on. And remember, this is an analogy. This is a spiritual reality, and he's doing his best to show us a physical representation so we can understand it. Jesus was good at that. He worked with farmers and stuff, so he always talked about the land, about growing, about farming, because they could understand that, and then related it back to the spiritual. It's the same type of deal going on here, that this is a spiritual battle, a spiritual thing that he's talking about, but he's doing his best to relate it to something in the physical, and it don't work 100%, right? What he's saying here is not that you ever take it off and put it back on. It's just you need to renew it every day. Anybody here have enough faith? So that's what he's talking about, getting up every morning, renewing that faith constantly. You don't have to wait till you get up. You can do it in the middle of the night. That's the idea, the spiritual idea behind it is renewing all of this stuff. Not that you ever physically take it off and physically put it on. You put it on the day that you get saved, and you should. And you never take it off, but you get it built up each and every day, every hour if you need it. There's times that every 5 minutes we need more faith, right? Amen. Sarge's a great example for everything. Brother's had a rough life. I love it. Rough life. Where's Beth at today? All right, let's pray for her. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just pray for Beth right now, Father God, that Lord, just touch her. Give her the strength, Father God, to come in today. I know she loves being here. She loves you. She loves your people. And Lord, we love her. Father, in the name of Jesus, just touch her. Thank you. Amen. All right. It says, finally, this is the last thing. After you put this armor on, what more do you need than the things that are met here? That's what he's saying, right? But that is that what he's saying? We'll look in a minute. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord. See, a lot of people don't look before that. He was talking about many other things. So this isn't finally that you do this. This is just his lead into this from the sentence and the paragraph before. This isn't final. You need many more things than what's right here. But this is a start, right? What good is if you had all this armor on and didn't know how to fight? So there's plenty more, believe me. This isn't final, that I've heard a lot of people say. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, period. That's the first thing we need to know. God has what? I mentioned that last week when I was talking. All authority, right? Period. God has all authority over what? Everything. Okay, that's pretty good. So that's something that I can rely on, right? I can gain strength from that. It's being strong in that, not in me. Shane can't be strong in what he can do. You know what Shane can do? What can Ashley do? Give the pastor back. You drove the pastor mobile? What did you do wrong? That's faith right there. Yes, that was faith. She got in there and she had the armor of God around her. Because that thing has been resurrected many times. All right, so our strength lies in what? The mighty power of God. Says, put on the full armor of God. Key word there is full. What good is it to have one piece and not another? Well, I'm going into battle. I'm going to put on this shield. Nobody can stab me in the heart. Next thing you know, the guy knocks you in the head. What good was that shield? That's why it says pull out a full armor. What about stepping on somebody's foot? I've seen some big guys that come down with just a little smack on their toes. Right? It don't take much. What part of our spiritual walk does not need to be covered? None. It all does, right? Everything. I mean, Sammy's living proof of that. Lord knows that boy needs covering. You look good today, Sammy. Nice outfit. I won't even talk about the way you look when you come into church. Only because I looked as bad. All right. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. You're the one taking the stand, but it's through God's power. But you have to take the stand, right? God will fight for you, but all the kings and stuff, they went for prayer. They went into battle themselves. They didn't stay home. I think we hear a story one time. David stayed home, and what? He got into worse trouble, right? He will fight with us. He will fight in front of us. But you have to be in the battle, too. And believe me, we are. Every one of us that confesses to be a Christian, the minute you confess that, you're in a battle, a spiritual battle. Sometimes even a physical battle. And what do we take our stand against? People talking about us so I can look prettier? No. The schemes of the enemy. What is the devil's scheme? Devil has only one scheme. He's a one-trick pony. All he wants to do is see you get unsaved. So you can't lead anybody else to the Lord. He doesn't care about you. He lost you. I've said this many times. The only time the devil is going to come after you is if you're doing something good. Somebody tells me, the devil's really bad. Great. Glad to hear it. I'd be worried if he wasn't. Because he don't care about you or I. We're one little person. He's been around forever. How many people are in forever? A whole bunch, right? Time's on his side. Sammy, how old are you? 23. I'm not even going to tell you my shoes are older than that. 23. He could well live to be in his 80s, late 80s, right? Easily. Think of how many Well, yeah, now that you've straightened up. Think of how many years Satan has to get him back. Satan will just go on to somebody else. But when somebody like a Sammy starts reaching out, bringing other people in, then he don't like that. And that's what we're talking about, the devil's schemes. He wants to stop you from being effective. He doesn't want to kill you. It's the worst thing. You go to heaven, right? What a punishment. I'm going to punish you. Go to heaven. What it is was he wants to stop you. You're not going to heaven unless it's your time, so don't worry about that. But what he wants to do is stop you from being effective. If he can just water it down a little bit, he can give you more overtime. Wow, I had a bunch of bills. God bless me with overtime. I can't come to church, but God bless me. We need to take everything in consideration, right? The spiritual and the physical, but the spiritual is more important. The physical is barely around, and even that is all spiritual. Pastor Don has talked about many times in his worldview class. Why do I say that? Who created that chair? Metalsmith. Who created the metal? The earth. Who created the earth? God. Everything is spiritual. Every battle is spiritual, even in the physical. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Don't get mad at the people that come against you. First, pray for them. It's not them. It's a Satan using them, right? Our battle is always in the spiritual, not in the physical, right? Pastor Don has told several stories about the school board and so forth, members that had really come against him and stuff. At the end, come to him for prayer, right? What did he do? Go over and beat him up for all the nasty stuff they did to him? What did he do? Prayed for their salvation, right? We got to remember, when you're talking with somebody unsaved, there you were a few years ago. Were we any better? No. We're not any better now. It's just saved through salvation, through the work Christ done in us. You want to get even with them? Get them saved. That's what you need to do. Then they'll see the error that they made and be sorry for it. Other than that, they don't care. But remember, this is a spiritual battle, is what he's saying. It's not against flesh and blood. We're in a spiritual fight. There's a semicolon there. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, boom, but against what? Against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Again, but against the rulers. Is he talking about kings? No, he's talking about here demonic things, right? Demonic forces. As we've read, there are demons over certain areas. It talked about that in, was it in Kings? No, it was Daniel, thank you. We just talked about that, that there were spiritual forces. There's battles in the spiritual. Right, Pastor? Who's got the mic? Oh, there you go. Good man, Sammy.
I don't know how many of you read this week that a bunch of these leaders in Mexico are calling for a national exorcism. Anybody read that? Because of all the crime and murder and everything else. So it's kind of funny that they recognize, you know, a lot of the Christians that live in Mexico, hey, there's something wrong, and they're crying out, hey, you know, we want to do spiritual warfare and heavenly, you know, having people pray. But they recognize that, you know, these evil forces obviously affect us, affect the way the nations go.
Yes.
And, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting that here you had all these people in Mexico crying out, we need a national exorcism.
All right. Call them up and tell them we're available. This is exactly what we're talking about. There are demonic forces that have hold over certain areas, certain places. Against the authorities. There again, what authority does a demon have? Nada. The only authority you have is the same authority that God has, or the same authority Christ had in your life. You had to turn it over to him, right? God manipulates and works with everybody, whether you're saved or not, period. But we're talking about angels and demonic forces. A demon cannot make you do anything. They're just con artists. but the best. If they could come down here and put on a suit, they would be the best used car salesman you ever seen. Because they know how to tickle people's ear. You know? It doesn't take much. What was it, a couple weeks ago? I think it was the first week I was... No, it was last week. I just kind of said, well, Ashley. Where's Ashley? You got closer? Oh, you're in trouble. Ashley, you... did you hear about Pastor John? What's the... Shake your head. No, you didn't. Why'd I pick her? Most people are going to say, no. No. What do you mean? And what is the enemy going to say? What's that person going... Oh. Never mind. Pretend I... Nothing. Walk away. Yes. When I threw it out the first time last week, everybody got quiet all of a sudden. Right? Did anybody think good? Wow, you heard what happened to Pastor Don. Why? That's why I changed it to Pastor John. Okay. You heard that. Okay. The only authority a demon has is the authority that you give it. And that's through an open door. And what's an open door in your life? Any sin. He doesn't need much. Have you ever seen a little house mouse? They can crawl in through a keyhole almost, right? They find gnats, little fruit flies. They find them in the bank and safes. They can get in anywhere. There's the smallest opening. Same way in the spiritual, same way with demons. The smallest opening is all he needs, right? One piece of crabgrass and a beautiful lawn. Unattended, what happens? Even if you tend it, put fertilizer, the crabgrass is going to grow better than the grass. Pretty soon it's going to be all crabgrass, going to take over. Same way with sin in your life. It's going to take over. It always starts small. It's usually, we didn't start with a big sin. You know, oh, I'm 8 years old, I'm going to go out and kill somebody. It was a gradual progression, wasn't it? But there's exceptions to every rule. Against the powers of this dark world. Right? He's talking about the world system, not the world itself. The earth is good. God created it. What he's talking about, the authorities, the rulers, and the dark part of this world, which is the people on it. Right? Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. The battle is going on in heaven as it is here, right? Where did Job's trouble start? In heaven, wasn't it? Anybody remember that story? God asked Satan, what about my bud Joe? He's cool. Now how could he talk to Satan unless Satan was right there? Could he? Coming, he said he goes to and fro. God just laughs at him. He has no power to do anything. God. And Satan knows that. He knows the only time against a good, solid Christian that he had an opening is if God allowed it. Right? Other than that, he would have attacked Job any time he could have, wouldn't he? Job was a good, solid man. Not that you're not going to be attacked, that you can stand up to it, is what we're talking about. And that is where the spiritual armor comes in. Because you're going to be attacked. You're in a fight. Go to verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Second time it's saying this, right? God doesn't stutter. So what is this? This is something important. We learn through repetition. So it's important for us to know to put on the full armor again. So that when the day of evil comes, when the day of evil comes, not if it comes, well, as long as you're good, you're not going to be attacked. You got nothing to worry about. It's going to be a rose garden. When the day of evil comes, the day you're going to be attacked is how we're going to look at it today, that you may be able to stand your ground. There again, how often do we hear Jesus talking about himself as the cornerstone? You have to stand on something firm. You know, we're not talking about mud wrestling, right? The best person might not win in a mud wrestling match. It's just whoever falls down first, right? You have to have firm ground. Have you ever watched boxers when they get in the ring? They have a little rosin and sand mixed. You see them do this, you know. You don't see that much anymore, but that's the old days. When they had the kid, yeah. When they had the, yeah. But it used to when they had just stretched canvas because it would get sweaty. People would perspire on it, and water would stay there. It was not porous, barely. So that's why you see if anybody that's watched boxing today will see they have trouble with when they put the paint the different logos on the ring. They'll hit a spot that's kind of smooth where they put a sign on there, and they'll trip or fall. That's why to be in a battle, and what happens? You trip and fall, what's the other guy going to do? Oh, here, let me help you up. He's going to hit you upside the head with all his might while you're fumbling around. That's exactly what's going to happen in the spiritual. That's why we have to be on strong ground, and there's only one strong ground, and that's Jesus Christ and the Word of God. We can stand on that. That's always going to be there. It's always going to firm. It's not going to move. The earth moves. Anybody ever been in an earthquake? It's scary. The earth moves. I was in just a small one in California once, scared the bejesus out of me. I'm laying in bed. I was actually in the hospital, Balboa Naval Hospital. And they, this, no, well, that's why I was in the hospital. No. At the end of the bed, they had, like, you know, the trays and stuff. It had a little TV on it. The old days, and big heavy ones, you know. I think it was like a 20-inch or something, weighed 400 pounds, so. And all of a sudden, it starts moving. I think somebody's mad. Hey, I jump up, and well, all of a sudden, then the bed starts moving. Now, I look across the way. The hospital was in wings. The building next door is moving like this, and windows are cracking. That's a scary feeling. When you got nothing, have you ever got dizzy? It's the same feeling. What are you doing? You're looking for something firm, something that is not moving, that you can rely on. You start falling, what are you doing? You're grabbing for something, right? Same thing here in the spiritual. You may be able to stand your ground. And when you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. You've done everything you can, stand firm with. And then it starts talking about the different armor of God. Now again, these are spiritual things we need, not physical, okay? I think I might still have an old flak jacket. I'll bring it to you. You have nothing to worry about. Of course not, right? What he's talking about is spiritual attacks, spiritual coverings, right? You never take your spiritual covering off, but you never have enough of it, right? Only one thing should last forever, and that's salvation. Everything else needs a booster shot. Holy Spirit, everything needs a booster shot all the time, doesn't it? With a belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, they had those big leather belts they'd wear to stop a sword from hitting them here. This was Roman times. Romans used those short, it was a broad sword, but very short. And that's exactly what they would do. It was wide. It was not a stabber. They would put up their shield and slice you right here. You're dead. That's why they would wear those big, heavy leather belts. So that's what we're talking about. Going out and buying a heavy belt. No. It says a belt of truth. Simply put, don't always look for things that aren't there. It's simply truth. It's a stranger to a lot of us. It was a long time before I ever met Mr. Truth. But you can never go wrong telling the truth. Let me say that again. You can never go wrong telling the truth. It may get you in trouble, but it's in the best bet. Because if you lie, I guarantee it'll get you in trouble. Right? No matter what. Because if you tell one lie, it's going to come up again. How many politicians have we heard about here, say, not too long ago, we heard about all these politicians that are falling and stuff, getting fired because they lied on their resume, right? One guy had lied about his military record. Another guy had lied about his college and degrees. You tell a lie, it's out there. Somebody's going to look it up now. Somebody is going, and even if they don't find out, oh, you went to the University of California. Oh, yeah, yeah, it was sunny out there. Yeah, I loved it, right? Somebody else, you're going to run into somebody that went there, and they're going to ask you about little shops and little, yeah, I was there. You got to lie and lie to keep up one lie. One lie leads to two, to three, to four, right, over the time. Pretty soon you're going to forget. Pretty soon your whole life is going to be a lie. It starts with one. We started off with one sin, probably a little sin. But it's simply, always rely on the truth, period. That's one of the greatest protections. That's one of the greatest things that Satan gets in with. If you've lied, that's an opening for him to come right in there, isn't it? And make you lie again. And then make you get caught. The second thing, and the first one is going to be next week, the belt of truth. The illustrious Fred Ramsey is going to be doing that one. He isn't with us today, but I love the guy. He's working today, time and a half, paying into my Social Security. So he has my blessing. He can listen to this online. I'm sure he has several stories about how he's got in trouble, not telling it. But now he's just the opposite. He's a very truthful person, even when it hurts. The second thing is a breastplate of righteousness in place. Give me a definition of righteousness, somebody. Shane, if I said you, give me a simple description of what righteous means.
I had to say it'd be in direct correlation with the character of God. It's the idea that you're getting, trying to emulate that which is right, that which is, that we're called to be the character of Christ and God.
Give the microphone back. He just used three words there that I couldn't even spell. I'm a simple man. He's right, though. He's right. But keep things simple. And I'm going to tell it to you simple. Right? He's smart. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have that drawback holding me. The blessed place, righteousness. A good description of righteousness is always do what is right. Right? He's a righteous man means he always does what is right. Correct? What is right? The word of God, what God tells you, right? That's what is right. And that's what we should always do. Right? Right. And who's going to be doing that? Let me look here. I don't know this guy. Ray Silva. Okay. Big Ray back there. Wave. Stand up, Ray. Now sit back down. You look better than I do. I don't like that. Look at me, not him. Looking good today, Ray. Looking good. All right. Simply do what is right. Always tell the truth. Do what is right. Can you go wrong with that? No. Stop and think about it. Of course, we don't like to do either one of those, do we? The third thing. With your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This is one that's always irked me. Not the passage, but I've heard so many ministers and different teachers say, they start talking about peace. We should always walk in peace. We should always be in peace and harmony with each other. We got to coexist, sister, right? I love you. That's not what it says here. Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from what? The gospel of peace. The gospel of who? Of Jesus Christ. It's not an outside peace, it's an inside peace, right? Christ come to give us peace. But then in the same tone, he says, well, I'm not promising you a road garden. All these attacks are coming. So it's obvious that the peace he's talking about is an inner peace, that we're going to go through these outside attacks, but we're going to be at peace with ourselves, with the world, and with God. That's the peace inside, right? If you have peace inside, the world can be in turmoil. You're just sitting there. Okay. When somebody comes up to you and tells you the world's going to end next Tuesday at 12 o'clock. Yeah, okay. Here, why I'm sure that it's speaking about that, it talks about it. It says, your feet fitted with. When it always talks about feet, what's it talking about? Your spiritual walk, going out and spreading the word. If you want to go out and spread the word, you have to use your feet sometimes, right? You can't just text somebody. Anybody ever text a salvation prayer? It's probably happened somewhere in the world today, I'm sure of it. But what we're talking about here is we have to step out for God. Anytime Jesus touched somebody, the first thing he said when he healed somebody, get up, go. Right? I said last Sunday, what? Go be my witness. Go spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace. Inner peace, not outer peace. That will never happen. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. We all need faith. The bigger the shield, the more protected you are. The more faith you have, the more protected you are. He's simply talking about faith. But ho, faith in what? Bozo the Clown? Yourself? Kenny? Right. See, I didn't say that you and Bozo were the same. See, it was two different people. Okay. I want to make you mad. What we need is faith in Jesus Christ, that he is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he's going to do, and he will do it. I have faith. If God tells me to go do something, I can do anything. If God tells me to do it, go over there and do this. Okay, I'm gone. What's going to happen? Well, I could get in trouble. Even some physical beatings up is quite possible. Who knows? But I would get in more trouble disobeying God, wouldn't I? That's where your faith comes in. Your faith is in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Take up the helmet of salvation. Let's go back to faith again. Again, it's just the analogy of stopping flaming arrows, right? The Romans, and even before, they had the big heavy metal shields. Before that, when the olden days, when Jerry King used to be in the army, they had like goat skin and stuff, right? And what they would do, they would soak it in water all night before they went into battle so it could stop those arrows. But that, again, is the schemes of the enemy, right? Those flaming arrows. In the spiritual, we're talking about the things that the enemy throws against you, which are sharp and going to hurt you. Last thing, the sword of the Spirit. I'm sorry. Take up the helmet of salvation. Let me back up again. Who was going to speak about shield of faith? Mr. Donovan Rowe. Give Donovan a hand. Well, I'm going to tell him you didn't even clap, Kathy. I didn't see you clap. Okay. All right. And I'm sorry, the one on the gospel of peace, is Brian Wilkerson is going to be speaking on that. You got the best here. The last thing, or the next thing, is a helmet of salvation. Why does it refer to salvation as a helmet? Simply, the attacks of the enemy always start where? He always attacks my big toe. I hate that. No, it's right up here. Your big toe don't lead you around. This mind of ours is what leads us around. It's your mind that gets you in trouble, right? And that's what the enemy uses, mind tricks, mind games. Same thing when he tempted Jesus. What was he doing? He was playing. He knew that he'd been out in the desert. Well, why don't you turn these into bread? It just seems so right. You're hungry. You're God. Turn that rock into a piece of bread. That's always where the attack is going to come, through your mind. Like I've often said, I hate when somebody says, oh, brother, pray for me, I fell in sin. Nobody falls into sin. We make dozens of conscious decisions to get into that sin, right? I've explained that many times. You don't fall into sin. And that's where this helmet is referred to as a helmet, because it's something to protect your head, protect your mind. The last thing is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What better way to refute the enemy, because he's going to be using a lie, is to know the truth, right? You will never know every trick, every false gospel, every false prophet, every false teacher that's going to come against you. You don't have to. You don't have to know the lie. You need to know the truth. As long as you know the truth, a lie is not going to be accepted. It's not going to bother you, right? Somebody comes up and tells you, hey, I heard moon's made out of cheese. Oh, yeah, I'm going to give me a big ladder and some crackers. No, we know that isn't true, right? Because people have went up there. People have brought, they've stood on it. It's not cheese. So is that a comprehensive list? You know, there's something missing there. I'm going to throw it out. What is missing there? What isn't covered? What spiritual thing do we need that isn't there? Prayer. Is prayer a powerful weapon? Is prayer a protection? Is it a strength? It is your strength. Thank you. Well, again, people stop right there. Let's go back to Ephesians 6 and go to verse 18. Most people, when they teach about this, they stop at 17. Go to 18 with me. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So, you know, we busted the paragraph up, right, in English, because that's how we write and think. This is all one thought. And pray in the Spirit. This should have been just right along after the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. What kind of prayers? No such thing as a bad prayer. All kind of prayers and requests. Pray to God. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Be alert. We hear that about the enemy, right? Be alert and self-controlled, because Satan is walking around looking for somebody. Prayer is a part of this and ties it all together. So this part should always be read along with that. And pray in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Why? Because we don't know what to pray for. Somebody comes up and says, pray for me. A lot of times I have, could you pray for me? But for what? Well, however the Spirit leads. In other words, they didn't want to say. Or sometimes somebody will come up and ask for prayer for something. I start praying, the Holy Spirit just sends me in a total different direction. So that's why it says pray in the Spirit. Prayer is spiritual. We're not. That's where the Holy Spirit in us comes into effect, right? And with this in mind, be alert. Always keep praying for all of the Lord's people. That should be our first prayer. We should pray for the lost, but first start praying for God's people. Because who's going to win those lost? God's people. If they're not strong, built up, and ready, those ones are not going to get saved. You can't do it all yourself. Sammy, next to you.
That thought reminds me of when I'd seen a documentary on Roman soldiers and their army. Their unity is an important part of prayer and walking in that armor, because their shields interlocked.
Yes.
So when they came against the enemy, they were not just one person. They were one force to be reckoned with.
I think we've seen that. You're very true. I think we've seen that in the movie 300, where they shot the arrows. The sun went out. So many arrows coming up and coming down. They all stood down and put their... Some still got shot because they had round swords. The Roman army, they had bigger shields. Small swords, but big shields. And they had hooks on them. They could hook themselves together. They could hook behind it, right? They were actually tanks. You were absolutely right. That was the origination of a tank, when they would hook their shields together. So remember, always when you hear this, Don't forget verse 18. Amen? All right. And the sword of the Spirit is going to be taught by Bobby Ramirez. Bobby Ramirez. Huh? Okay. Ramirez, yes. I told you that story. My drill instructor back, we had one token Mexican in the whole group, right? And his name was Bobby Ramirez. What a coincidence. And the drill instructor, reading the first day, reads his name out. Bobby Ramirez. He comes running up. Sir, that's Ramirez. He takes his helmet off and just hits him right upside the head. He said, it may be your name, but it's my mouth. And remember that. You listen to my mouth. That's one thing that's always stuck in my mind when I hear Bobby Ramirez. All right. We're going to close in prayer. Any questions before we do that? Sammy, why don't you pick somebody? Go ahead, young lady.
Dear Lord, I just pray that we'll all remember this message and share it out with other people. And I pray that we'll have a great message next time. And that we'll all have a great day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was a great... Give her a hand.